This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey here with you until 10:35. Let's go out to the Fan Hotline where we find Mike DeFabo from The Athletic talking a little Steelers and OTAs. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Well, I appreciate the song that you had me on to, but I was hoping for a little Grateful Dead since I know we share that music interest.
Yeah, I know. Way back when I had some Dead on, but I guess we have rules on what we can play, and this is not part of the show format, so I'd get in trouble if I played the Dead or Fish. One day, yeah, that's probably my biggest inspiration.
Yeah, probably like a 17-minute guitar solo instrumental would not be a good thing to welcome on, I guess.
Probably not. Hey, just one more minute. They're jamming. That's all right. We'll get there. Just hang on. And my whole show would be one song. Anyway, all right, man. So the Jonnu Smith stuff came out this afternoon. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that the Steelers are interested in some type of a receiving threat behind DK Metcalf. And it tells me that they're exploring a lot of different avenues. And, you know, Jonnu Smith specifically makes sense in the sense that he worked with Arthur Smith before and is a tight end. And it seems like if you've ever played for Arthur Smith or are a tight end, Arthur Smith would be interested in you. And so I know that fans listening probably are like, man, don't they already have a million tight ends? And the answer is yes. But the Steelers led the league in 13 personnel usage last year, or maybe were second in 13 personnel usage, which is three tight ends on the field at the same time. And everyone understands what Pat Freiermuth can do and his potential. They'd like to see a little bit more from him. Darnell Washington, you know that he's, you know, basically he's an extra lineman for all intents and purposes based on the way that the Steelers use him. And Connor Hayward has been underwhelming, I would think. I think if you're going to put three tight ends out there, you'd like a more dynamic weapon. So, you know, I can understand their interest in him. But at the same time, I think that a wide receiver probably makes more sense for this team. And I think that they can also look towards that avenue as they're looking for somebody who's going to catch the football who's not named DK Metcalf.
Do you think this is a case, Mike, more of the Steelers maybe checked and expressed interest versus like there have actually been serious discussions here?
Well, I think that if the price is right, it would make sense for this team because Arthur Smith does feature the tight end position. And, you know, sometimes what happens in these situations is when teams come to a stalemate with a contract negotiation, that's when they get another team involved, and sometimes that settles it for them. And in fact, that was the case with Matt Stafford, despite the fact that Omar Khan, for whatever reason, said that it was fake news that he inquired about Matt Stafford. He absolutely did, and at The Athletic, we have multiple league and also Ram sources that told us that he looked into that. And ultimately, what happened with that negotiation was Matt Stafford looked elsewhere. He heard what his price was going to be, and that helped bring these two sides together. So, you know, there's two ways that this could go. Either that's what happens with Jonnu Smith, and he figures out, okay, here's what the market is, and then the Miami Dolphins can come to resolution, or you know, maybe the Steelers pony up enough that they have another receiving threat and it comes in the tight end form.
Fan Evening Show chatting with Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. You can follow Mike on Twitter or X at Mike DeFabo. Obviously, read his work at The Athletic. Mike, I want to switch gears a little bit to something you wrote, I believe it was yesterday, about Troy Fautanu and Broderick Jones and what they've shown in OTAs so far. I know it's limited, you know, football in shorts, we can only learn so much, but what have your initial impressions been of those two guys together? And secondarily, do you think the offensive line could wind up as kind of a sneaky strength of this team?
Well, the offensive line needs to become a strength of this team. When Omar Khan chose to invest so heavily in the offensive line, I agreed very much with that process. You know, I think that especially if you want to play a brand of football where you're winning games at the line of scrimmage, you have to be strong in the trenches, and that was a weak area for this team. But it went from being like, oh, I've got this unscratched lottery ticket to, man, there better be $1 million underneath that, because if you spend back-to-back first-round picks on offensive tackles, they better be the strength of your team. They better be the reason why you're winning football games sooner than later. And last year, the offensive line let the Steelers down. You know, Dan Moore Jr. led the league in sacks allowed. Broderick Jones was right behind him with 11 sacks allowed, which was tied for second in the league. And meanwhile, they averaged 4.1 yards per carry. Only six teams were less efficient running the football. So they're not playing the brand of football, and they're not getting the return on their investment. And that's where Troy Faletonu's return is important, because in and of itself, it's essentially like adding another first-round pick to this year's draft class because of the injury. And, I think that he, even more than Broderick Jones, I think he's going to have a better first season and better second season than Broderick Jones, just because of his strengths, because of the fact that he is a mauling run blocker, which fits that right tackle position very well. Also, when you talk to him, he just carries himself really well. I mean, it stood out to me that he's sitting there recovering from a very significant surgery, and he said that he was having these dark days in his room thinking, am I going to get back? Does the team need me back? And like, rather than worrying about himself and his own health, he's worried about the team and how he can impact the team. And so really what you're hoping is, now with him at right tackle, that bumps Broderick over to left. And the Steelers have taken what I would think is a strange approach with Broderick Jones. You knew that he was a guy who had all of the skills to eventually become a very productive offensive lineman in this league, but he started just 19 games. And so if you have a raw player like that, rather than streamlining the process and making it easy for him, instead what they said is, learn right tackle, and at some uncertain point, unknown point in the season, you're going to flip to left. And so his head was kind of spinning with that. And so I think the Steelers deserve some blame for the way they handled that situation. And obviously Broderick also is responsible for his own development. And last year, I think he was carrying some sloppy weight. He said he was playing around 325, 330. And as a result, it robbed him of what his strength was. You know, he ran the fastest 40 of any offensive lineman at the combine the year that he came out. And his mobility is really his biggest asset when he's getting out into space or getting up onto that second level to block linebackers and defensive backs. And so when he was a little bit heavier, he didn't have that. So he said that he's slimmed down. He's now about 305, 310. And so, you know, I think that that gives him a better opportunity to be successful. But as I started to answer your question, like, if you pumped all these resources into the offensive line and your thought process was, this isn't going to be sexy, but it's not going to be flashy, but eventually, in the long term, we're really going to be happy that we made this investment. Well, now here we are, year three, and you better start seeing that return on investment sooner than later.
Yeah, no doubt. It has to be a lot better than it was last year, especially if you have a 41-year-old quarterback, or regardless, have to be able to run the ball. Changing gears a little bit, Mike, to that 41-year-old quarterback, or the potential of a 41-year-old quarterback. I thought you tweeted a funny comment on a story that you wrote about Aaron Rodgers. The natives are restless. They're not terribly happy. How would you describe some of the fan sentiment that you've received relative to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, pretty much any story that I write on Aaron Rodgers, they're like, can we stop talking about this guy? Why are the Steelers even interested? Why have the Steelers sunk this low and stooped so low that they're willing to let Aaron Rodgers put himself above the team and do things in his own way? But this just hints at the quarterback desperation and the lack of a plan that the Steelers had here. And really, the they talk so much about in being a member of the front office, you have to act with conviction, right? You might not be right every single time, but you at least have to have some conviction. And that's what I think that the Steelers have lacked at the quarterback position. Like, okay, they were interested in Justin Fields, but only at a certain price. And they inquired about Matt Stafford, but they weren't going to go far enough to pull him away from the Rams. And they thought about maybe Sam Darnold, but when he got to be a little too expensive, no, they weren't really all in on him. And like, at some point, you have to have a strong belief about the most important position in football. And I just feel like they've really botched this situation start to finish. And now it's left them sitting here at OTAs with no quarterback, and your number one wide receiver isn't there. So for what? The better part of a decade, this anemic offense has been dragging down and wasting what's been the highest paid defense in the NFL. And now here they are in OTAs, a time when you're supposed to be coming together as a team. You've got no quarterback and your number one wide receiver isn't there. No one should be fooled into thinking that at any point this spring the Steelers have improved their passing game, because we haven't seen it on the football field yet.
So I understand the idea of not having conviction. I just don't understand why they have to make up for it right now with the conviction of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I would call this thing off. I'm tired of it, Mike. You probably are too. Why do you think they're so dug in on this?
I think they've almost gotten to the point that now you've exhausted all options, right? Like, if I were them, I would have done what it took to sign Justin Fields, seen if you could have unlocked his potential this year. If you don't, you draft your quarterback, you're good to go, okay? Or you look at the way that they structured Sam Darnold's deal. It's essentially a one-year contract they can get out from under. And so why not take a chance with Sam Darnold? I don't really get it. I watched the Jets, and I wonder if the Steelers did last year, because they were not a good football team, and Aaron Rodgers was not particularly productive. You know, we talked a lot about the offensive line. He was the worst quarterback in the league in terms of EPA per play against the blitz, and that doesn't sound too good, playing behind two young offensive tackles playing new positions for the first time. So I guess what they're thinking is, like, they went on with this process so long that now that it's either Mason Rudolph, basically, Kirk Cousins, or Aaron Rodgers. And so you don't really need to even go and say, we're done with Aaron Rodgers. You can kind of just wait it out and see if he comes, and if not, fall back on Mason Rudolph. That is basically the same thing as, like, saying publicly, we're out on Aaron Rodgers and going with Mason is the same thing as sitting around and waiting, and maybe he doesn't come and you go to Mason Rudolph. So, you know, we'll have to see where it goes. I still think that Aaron Rodgers will sign here, but I also think that it's not going to go very well for them this season with him behind center.
Yeah, and I don't think people are going to be happy about it. That's the frustrating thing. It's just going to be a constant critique storm, and I get it. Chatting with Mike DeFabo, The Athletic. Follow Mike on X at Mike DeFabo. Read his work, of course, at theathletic.com. Mike, changing gears a little bit, I wanted to ask you about the pass rush. Alex Highsmith talked a little bit about T.J. Watt and how they can get after the quarterback better. How can they get after the quarterback a little bit better than last year? What's your confidence level in the pass rush at this point?
Well, you know, the Steelers, they have two great edge rushers in T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. And really what they've done defensively is said, we don't need to, like, scheme things open and scheme opportunities for guys because we can just rely on those two great edge rushers to get it done. The problem is when teams know exactly where T.J. Watt's going to line up every time, they also know if they put a tight end over on that side and they chip him and they double team him, they get the ball out quickly, it's going to make it really hard for T.J. Watt to be productive. And so, you know, I think one schematic way they could do things differently would be to flip-flop Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt from time to time, add a little bit of unpredictability to their defensive front. They also could consider blitzing more, and that's always a double-edged sword and a bit of a difficult conversation, because when you blitz, you also expose your secondary, and that's the reason why they don't blitz, particularly against good quarterbacks. But the third thing is Derek Harmon, and that's where I think that they could get a different kind of rush, because Derek Harmon, while he is a defensive lineman who's stout against the run, he also led college football last year with interior defensive linemen with 55 pressures. And so that means that that gives him the possibility to contribute early and on all three downs, because when the Steelers go to their sub packages, which they're in about 80% of the time, there's only two interior defensive linemen, and you take your nose tackle off the field. So, you know, he should be a three-down type of guy, and even more than, you know, I think he's going to be stout against the run, but even more than that, I think it's his pass rush upside that's really intriguing. So, you know, I think that the Steelers, they at least have the pieces to get to the quarterback better, but if I were in that room, one thing I would be looking at, and if I were part of the decision-making process, is how can we take more calculated risk and blitz a little bit more, get back to their roots? Because Patrick Queen is an excellent blitzer who did not blitz a lot last year, and I don't think they played to his strengths as much as they could have. And, you know, they are a defense that relies very much so on the splash play. And if you're looking to create the splash play rather than necessarily stopping a team on three or four downs, I think that creating pressure would be a good way to do so.
Mike DeFabo, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.
You too. Thanks, Jason.
All right, man. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic does an awesome job. Check out his stuff, theathletic.com. Very easy to find. I really enjoyed the story that I read. What a healthy Troy Tanu and Leaner, easy for me to say, huh? Broderick Jones mean for the Steelers' offensive line. Follow Mike on Twitter or X at Mike DeFabo. A lot of good stuff in there. We'll unpack it when we come back. First, I want to tell you that Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Again, I want to react to a few things Mike said. I want to talk a little bit about Troy Tanu and Broderick Jones and what they've brought so far. Definitely an encouraging storyline so far. How can the Steelers pass rush? How can that improve? Certainly an area that they need to pay attention to. Also up next, we're going to listen to some audio from Alex Highsmith today at Steelers OTAs, courtesy of Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. He was there doing excellent work gathering that. So we're going to take a listen to that and react when we come back. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey on Sports Radio 93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan. And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Thanks so much from Mike DeFabo from The Athletic for joining us. A lot of great stuff that we're going to unpack shortly. The injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Over in Pirates land, Joey Bart has been placed on the 7-day injured list due to a concussion. Andy Rodriguez is back. He was rehabbing with AAA Indianapolis. Just a couple of other injuries or recoveries, I should say. Nick Gonzalez, he continues his rehab assignment with AAA Indy. No issues there. Colin Holderman was seen by Dr. Don Sheridan in Arizona. He's dealing with a right thumb issue. He received a cortisone injection. Jared Jones, he's 1 week post-surgery. He's rehabbing down in Florida. He's obviously going to be a little bit away. And somebody I'm looking forward to, this is kind of a low-key important story for the Pirates, Dari Moretta had Tommy John surgery. He's rehabbing at AAA Indianapolis. He's pitched in back-to-back games. He's done a lot of what you would expect him to do. Moretta, remember Money Moretta, absolutely fantastic. Is a great personality, a goofy dude, and did a really excellent job with men on base. The Pirates bullpen can use some help. Dari Moretta, we'll see. He might be able to provide it. All right, so I wanted to first unpack a few things that Mike DeFabo said before we get to some Alex Highsmith audio from earlier today. So the Faitanu and Broderick Jones storyline, I think this one's an important one. I understand that we can't learn as much as we would like during OTAs just because of the nature of playing offensive line. You're not going to understand the physicality. But talking to those two guys and the maturity that they've shown, boy, it's really impressive. And Faitanu kind of puts the cherry on top for me. Just a very introspective, thoughtful guy. The Steelers missed a lot without him last year. I thought it was interesting, and Mike said he's basically like another first-round pick this year. And Mike is right. Faitanu, we don't know what he can be. We think we know what he can be. We saw what he was in practice. He was somebody who was good enough that the Steelers believed in starting him at right tackle, basically right out of the chute, and he was hurt. And so the Steelers' offensive line did not finish the season well, but if you look at the Steelers and their various positions and what area can improve the most this season, offensive line is one of them. And we're talking about another with the pass rush soon, but I don't think what the Steelers' offensive line did last season was representative of the group. I do like the pieces that they found. I've watched Zach Frazier and Mason McCormick working together quite a bit. I don't have any concerns about Isaac Seumalo. The issues are what Mike DeFabo talked about, the tackles, and guys that allowed pressures far too frequently. But now they're in their right spots. Troy Fuatanu is healthy, moving around the way he should. I like his ability to transition onto the field after not playing for a year because of that mentality, because of that mauler. I think that's how Mike put it. He's a really good run blocker. He's a very physical player, and he is very eager to be out there. And Broderick Jones, I understand what the Steelers were doing. I understand Broderick being kind of game for the experiment. I just don't think it made sense. He's a left tackle. He was a left tackle playing the right side. It didn't work out terribly well. I think there's a chance we could see a completely different player there. At least I hope so. All right, speaking of that, an area of intrigue with the Steelers that maybe has gone under-discussed, I don't know. I am a little bit surprised that there's not more smoke around the TJ Watt thing. I've talked about that on here before, where he has the Instagram story of him saying peace out, and then, yeah, there's been that. Silence. It's kind of odd. Now, he's in a contract, I don't want to say dispute, but obviously that's going to be a storyline. I'm not concerned that TJ Watt is not at OTAs. I need to see nothing from TJ Watt. I do believe that the Steelers will get something done with him. The bigger question for me is how the Steelers' pass rush improved. At times last year, it was good. At times last year, it was not. I think TJ Watt would tell you it was not his best year. Some things that the Steelers need to do differently in terms of moving him around the formation. Probably a bit of a down year from Alex Highsmith as well. I think that's a byproduct of, you know, all-around scheme and maybe teams keeping a lid on TJ Watt a little bit more than the Steelers would like. Nick Herbig had some moments, but maybe not the wire-to-wire season that anybody would expect. I'll be curious what Jack Sawyer can do. I was asked in a chat earlier today, initial impressions of Jack Sawyer. Boy, I thought he was smaller than he is. You walk around the field and you see him up close. Boy, does he not look out of place with NFL defensive linemen. I thought he would look, you know, like he was an outside linebacker doing defensive lineman drills. That's not the case. He's got some size to him, can move around quite a bit. He's an interesting chess piece for the Steelers. I don't know what will become of it, but I am very curious to see how quickly Jack Sawyer can get on the field. If he can defend the run, I have a feeling he's going to see quite a few snaps, and I'll be eager to see that. As well as really what happens in the rest of the linebackers room, but I want to focus just now on the pass rush. So, all right, Joel, are you ready with Highsmith? Let's go and listen to a little Alex Highsmith from earlier today. We'll stop and kind of react to it in the middle. A read and react kind of session with Steelers linebacker Alex Highsmith. Joel, hit it.
Four and two guys that are coming in.
How much is the Marvin learning?
Yeah, I mean,
disposition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got some experience at it when he was a rookie. So he came in, we had him playing there. Some in 2022, and so he's had experience at it, and so by him having that experience a couple years ago, I think, you know, that helps him, you know, just to be versatile, to play inside, play outside. And so he's another guy that I'm trying to, you know, continue to help, and he's getting better.
Alex, at the end of last season, TJ talked about the potential of being open to maybe moving around a bit more based off of how teams trying to scheme you guys up. How have you guys talked about that as a team, just trying to free both of you guys up to keep them guessing where you line up?
Yeah, I think that's something that we definitely got to include in games. You know, just like you said, I think, you know, teams were kind of catching on to what we were doing, and so I think if, you know, if we're able to move around different spots and stuff like that, you know, we'll be able to get teams off balance, and, you know, they can't just sit there and match the tech. And so I'm just excited for what we're going to do this year.
You guys have tons of experience working on the same sides and build that chemistry there. How do you build it so that you guys can have the same sort of chemistry and timing when you flip different entities?
Yeah, I mean, I think just repping it in practice. I think that's the best thing. It's about being out of practice is you get to rep those things and get comfortable once you're uncomfortable at it. So with switching sides and working different rushes and stuff like that. So like I said, just trying to sharpen it during practice so that we can be able to be effective in the game.
I like that answer from Alex Highsmith. The line of questioning is coming from Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, one of my good friends and co-workers over there. The Steelers need to do more of this. I think it's stating the obvious, but they got too predictable last season with where TJ Watt was going to be. Even TJ Watt talked about that, where he was, you know, used to doing things a certain way. Well, the old way needs to change. The old way needs to change because the Steelers have depth. They can move around. They need to get a little bit more creative with their scheme. And I mentioned last year the sack total being down. Like, you may listen to that and think the Steelers' defense at times last year, at least early on, was really good, really aggressive. There was a lot of stuff going on. It tapered off. In the sum total of what the Steelers did, it's not where you expect them to be. The Steelers have perennially been atop the league in terms of sacks. They finished with only 40 last year. That puts them about 18th-ish, somewhere around there. I mean, no, that's their lowest total since 2016. If you're allocating that much money to Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, you know, defensively in general, you have to be able to get after the quarterback. And the Steelers did not do that. And I think one way that they're going to be able to do that is by moving around, getting a little bit more creative with Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt. So, all right, let's keep going on Alex Highsmith.
Is that something you started already, or is that something that takes time down the road?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't started too much right now, but I know, going next week OTA, so definitely, that's, playing on doing that, switching sides and stuff like that. So, but like I said, just the more versatile we can be, the better.
Alex, TJ obviously not here. Have you had a chance to talk to him this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've been catching up with him all offseason. So, like I said earlier in some interviews, he really wants to be here. And I hope, I'm very confident they're going to get a deal done and that he's going to be coming back.
For you, what's it like? I know we always going to talk to you about being a leader in this group, and you have another season under your belt, but what's it like being a leader to this group where there's a lot of young guys involved in this defense, not necessarily linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy already going to year six. And the time flies, but like I said, it's just cool to be able to just really influence young guys and kind of just show them the way, what it takes. And so, like I said, when I got here as a rookie, I had TJ and Bud and Cam. So having veterans like that in my room really helped me to progress in my career. So I just want to do what I can to help young guys progress in their career as well.
You guys had a lot of young, strong guys in the middle of your defense. What can that do to help free up, make things easier for you guys on the outside?
Yeah, I mean, I think both Derek and Wyatt, they're two great players, and so I know just watching them so far, they're working hard and they get better every day. And so both those guys have the right mindset, so I'm just excited for what they do add to our interior.
We're just talking. Any more questions, guys?
He said that it feels like the O line is farther along at this point than they were a year ago, and it was all rookies guys trying to get to know each other, going against them. Obviously, you're not in Cats, but what have you seen with the O line early on?
Yeah, I mean, it's been nice seeing them gel together and continue to grow as a unit. I think that's one thing about the O-line, they got to be a unit. And so it's just cool seeing them grow every single day. Just look forward to grow, sharpening iron and iron, going against them every single day, getting them better than us, them getting us better. And so just looking forward to that every day.
Have you noticed any difference in Broderick now playing on the left side? Does it look like it's a more natural position?
Yeah, I mean, that's TJ and Bud helped me a lot as well. And so that's one thing that I want to be able to pour into the new guys that are coming in.
How much is the Marvin learning?
Yeah, I mean, this position? He got some experience at it when he was a rookie. So he came in. We had him playing there some in 2022. And so he's had experience at it. And so by him having that experience a couple years ago, I think, that helps him, just to be versatile, to play inside, play outside. And so he's another guy that I'm trying to, continue to help, and he's getting better.
Alex, at the end of last season, TJ talked about the potential of being open to maybe moving around a bit more based off of how he's trying to scheme you guys up. How have you guys talked?
All right, so that was Alex Highsmith talking earlier today at OTAs. Jeff warned me he had to do some slicing and dicing to put that all together, so we ended up going back into the Chris Carter question about moving around. Don't want to repeat that. I think there was one repeated question, but that's okay. A lot of good stuff there from Alex Highsmith, talking about various storylines, whether the offensive line looks any different. I go to these things, as many as I can get to. I don't know how much you can learn. I look more at the psyche of the players, where they're at mentally, the maturity, the kind of stuff they're talking about, how they're moving through drills, that sort of thing. And I will say that Broderick Jones looks a lot more comfortable. Now, does that ultimately work out? I don't think there's any way of us knowing that on May 29th. But I do think the Steelers are positioning themselves in the best way possible. There was another answer in there from Highsmith talking about the strength in the middle of the defense. And that's something that intrigues me as well. I don't know specifically what the intent was on the middle of the defense. I mean, maybe that means Derek Harmon in up front and what they do with Keanu Benton. I think the Steelers are stronger there. You could also look at the linebackers and whether the Steelers are stronger there. That was another storyline. Peyton Wilson talked today about becoming a three-down linebacker, and I think that's something we could see out of him this year. It's an interesting storyline with Landon Roberts being gone. I still don't understand why the Steelers didn't bring Landon Roberts back, but they have a need for a linebacker. Malik Harrison is somebody they brought in, $10 million 2 years this offseason, has some familiarity, obviously, within the AFC North. Cole Holcomb is back after a knee injury, knocked him out for all of 2024. Those are the competitors for an inside linebacker spot, a regular spot next to Patrick Queen. Peyton Wilson had a really, really good year. And I don't know if he's the size, the thump, that sort of thing that Alex Highsmith was talking about. I just think that it's a storyline that we should probably be paying attention to. What does Peyton Wilson do in year two? Last season, 78 tackles, a pick, a forced fumble, two fumble recoveries, really made a lot of plays. He's added a little bit of weight. He talked today about not wanting to add too much weight and maintain the speed. But if you're going to look at a defense that has playmaking inside linebackers, I think the Steelers could probably do worse than Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson. Patrick Queen had kind of an up and down first season with the Steelers, obviously, but the good was pretty good. And the bad was pretty bad too. I get that. And he owned up to that. But if they're able to figure that out, if Peyton Wilson is able to take the next step in the middle of that defense, could be really important for the Steelers. Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Most water rescues in our area are serviced by local volunteer fire departments. A rescue boat can cost over $50,000. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union to raise funds for volunteers who serve our community. Donate now at 937thefan.com, presented by Living Treasures Animal Park, Southside Plumbing and Heating, and Piata. Personally, I'm pretty darn pumped about the 5-Alarm event. I think it's going to be so much fun. I have my pairings. I'm with Jeff Hathorn, I think 8 to 9 the first night we're doing it. And then from 4 to 6 in the morning, I am with Jack Hillgrove. Joel, are you producing for that?
In some capacity, I will be producing a handful of the shows, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It really is. It's June 5th and 6th. We're going to be at the Upper St. Clair Fire Department. So we had a meeting talking about this stuff, and a couple area firefighters came into the Odyssey studios here, and we're in the conference room across the way. And they were explaining to us how much the gear costs. How much do you think it costs, Joel, to outfit one firefighter for one fire? And this is probably a bit of a trick question because you were there too.
It was somewhere between 15 to 20,000, right?
Yeah, I mean, just the gear itself was like 8 to 10, and then there were other things on top of that, so it depends on how we want to define it. But yeah, I mean, it is just crazy how much that costs, right? And if your home's burning, if you're losing things, if you're losing people, you need that's not really optional. You know, it's not really optional to have the person going in there to be properly suited, properly protected. So this money has to come from somewhere. And so I feel like, at least in my radio and my social media and my stuff, like I don't get political and I never will. And this is one of the things, like this is apolitical. This is people risking their lives to help you. And they need certain things to do that. You should contribute. So we're gonna have a lot of fun doing that. We're going to be soliciting a lot of donations, just kind of at this point, making you aware. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathons, June 5th and 6th, presented by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. A lot of great time, a fantastic cause, 26.2 straight hours on the Fan. So we have the pairings there at 93.7 The Fan right now, and you can see like there's a Starkey and Muller reunion and just a bunch of different people popping in and out. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. As well as our next segment, I want to have Joel take an idiot to NBA school. That's basically what this is going to be. I tried to follow the NBA last year. I got into it a little bit. I enjoyed it. I don't know how much I retained. And the NBA playoffs are going on right now. Joel is wearing an Indiana Pacers shirt. So if you're like me and you're only paying sort of cursory attention to the NBA, you're intrigued, but maybe your attention is elsewhere. You don't have a lot of disposable time. Joel, in our final segment of this hour, is going to get everybody caught up to speed. What is going on in the NBA? What should you know? Give me the Cliff Notes version so I can jump in now and care about it. We'll do that when we get back. It's Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey, Sports Radio 93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Fan. And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. I am Jason Mackey, here with you until 10:35. Looking forward to our next interview in a few minutes. Stephen Brault, former Pirates pitcher, current Pirates broadcaster, just an all-around good person, an enjoyable person. I enjoy talking baseball with Stephen. We'll do that. We'll talk about the current state of the team, little Paul Skeens, little Henry Davis. Want to get Stephen's thoughts on that. You can watch him, of course, most nights on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, although I don't think he has worked this recent road trip, but he does a fantastic job in studio. In this segment, though, I wanted to talk to Joel about the NBA. Just something I sort of thought of before the show, seeing his shirt. He's an NBA fan. I don't have anything against the NBA. I just don't find the disposable time for it. I want to know more. And so selfishly, I want to spend a couple minutes picking Joel's brain on what I should know about the NBA. So, Joel, the floor is yours. Get us caught up on the NBA playoffs.
Oh, thanks, Jason. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are already headed to the NBA Finals. Took down the Timberwolves last night to win that series. They won by 30 points in an elimination game. Tonight, the Pacers taking on the Knicks at 8 o'clock. Pacers a 3-1 lead in that series. So with a win, they would face OKC. I do think Indiana gets it done. Tyrese Haliburton for them, their star player, he's been fantastic. Pascal Siakam's been a big-time scorer for them. They can get big games out of Miles Turner, Aaron Nesmith, among others. I think Indiana's going to end up winning that series, whether it's tonight or if it's Game 6 later this month, a couple days from now. I do think Indiana gets it done. Oklahoma City, though, is just that good. I think they would beat the Pacers in 5 games. They're a deep group, and a lot of their games, they win them very thoroughly. It was something in the regular season. It was normal for the Thunder to be favored by double digits in a lot of their games last year. They were winning, and they were winning very thoroughly. So Mark Dagno, their head coach, I don't know what his formula is, but they just keep on winning games and winning pretty handily against all their opponents, anybody in their way. I mean, the Thunder, their series against the Timberwolves, they were both in OKC the first 2 games. They won them 114-88, 118-103, and then last night beat them 124-94. They are a very stacked group, and they get a lot of contributions from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, their star point guard who just won MVP. Chet Holmgren has been pretty big for them. He gets a lot of blocks. He gets like 5 blocks a game. A lot of defense. And then Jalen Williams, big-time scorer for them. Get good, solid defensive contributions from Isaiah Hartenstein. Lou Dort can knock down a bunch of threes. Oklahoma City is really good. Really good.
I think I'm going to get back into the NBA, Joel. You're convincing me. Actually, I just want something to dig into. And this seems to be a pretty good one at the moment. So tell me about Oklahoma City. Like, what is their identity as a franchise? What do people think of the, maybe make another sports comparison. Like, how would you explain Oklahoma City to a Martian?
So
speaking of Martians, here's Charlie Borges yelling at me.
So a while ago, I mean, Oklahoma City, they did make, after their transition from Seattle, they did make it to the NBA Finals in that time period where they had like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and then things were pretty bad. A very sort of rock bottom in the franchise where they were clearly rebuilding, adding up draft picks and so much draft capital, and it has worked out. It took a little while, but it has worked out, and they are the best team in the NBA. I still think they're going to beat whoever the Pacers, Knicks. I think they're going to win that in five games, because they're going to win a lot of their games pretty thoroughly, just like they did against Minnesota. But really, it was a rebuild that has worked out almost sensationally. They have multiple first-round picks in this summer's NBA draft, and the same for 2026 and 2027.
Jeez.
It has worked out, and then some.
So it's not going anywhere either.
They're going to be around for a while.
That was the team, I had asked Noah Hyles this last year, and I said, like, I want to learn more about the NBA. Take me to school and tell me who I should follow. And he was telling me about, like, how various teams built their teams and their identities and whatever. And we had settled on the Oklahoma City Thunder being a good team for me, I think because of what you're talking about. Because of, like, the, you know, doing it through the draft, rebuilding a rebuild that worked out, blah, blah, blah. I like that stuff, man.
It's worked out pretty thoroughly. I mean, they traded Paul George to the LA Clippers a handful of years ago. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's not easy to say.
It's not. They got him back in that trade, and it's worked out perfectly. Maybe even better than they expected, because he's good. He just won MVP, and he's still fairly young. He's going to be around for a while.
All right, so we got Pacers Knicks tonight. What time's the start?
8 o'clock.
All right, so we got to get this on one of the TVs in the station. I become a diehard NBA fan tonight.
It's going to be a good game. I think Indiana wins it.
It's a 40-point game, Joel. You're in trouble.
It is.
Have you always been an NBA fan?
Started to thoroughly get into it a couple years ago.
Why?
Just because. I got a couple of like fantasy basketball teams, and like they're
you're like a sicko then.
The keeper / dynasty leagues, so gonna have to keep up for a while with them, just like fantasy baseball.
Man, I couldn't do a fantasy basketball league. I can't even do fantasy baseball. I just can't find the time. Maybe I should. I do fantasy football, and that's about the extent of it. But I've gotten into golf, Joel. I'm like obsessed with golf now. I've kind of gone on the Starkey path, but I've been needing like something that you know, scratches that itch for like learning more about something, learning what you don't know. I don't know what it is about that process. That is, my brain has always worked that way, like craving knowledge, and I have very little understanding of what happens with the NBA. I think it's entertaining. I enjoy watching it. So we'll watch a little bit more. It's going to be fun.
That was good.
I appreciate the intel, brother.
Thank
good
you.
Good stuff. All right, so we're going to talk to Stephen Brault when we get back. A lot of Pirates topics to discuss. Stephen's takeaways from the recent Arizona series. What's been different under Don Kelly? The Pirates have improved. We'll move into some baseball talk this hour. Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. He'll be along at 9 o'clock as we narrow in on a Penguins coaching search. Next couple of days, I think we will find out who the next coach of the Penguins will be. Fan weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services. Chance of rain Friday afternoon in Pittsburgh. Sunny skies and temperatures in the 70s in San Diego for Pirates Padres over the weekend. Joel, have you ever been to San Diego?
Some of my family has. I have not, though. At some point, I gotta get down there.
You need to. It's funny. This is how a sports writer thinks, by the way. We don't need much. We enjoy an airport that's close to the ballpark. We enjoy, at least me personally, like a good running path, somewhere to walk or something to see. You know, nobody wants to stay around boring stuff. Good restaurants and like convenient to and from the ballpark. You don't get better than San Diego. The hotel you stay in is literally a Marriott in the outfield. It is the shortest walk in baseball, maybe second only to PNC Park. You see the hotels across from PNC Park, but obviously the scenery is gorgeous. You cannot go wrong. The Gas Lamp District, there are 3,000 taco places. I was telling my kids, there's a bar there right around the ballpark where you're just sitting on a street, like a sidewalk, and the bar is right along the sidewalk, and I was eating tacos and having a beer one night after a game. It's a good time. It's a good city. The weather's always good. The ballpark's beautiful, and the Pirates are playing there tomorrow night. So we'll talk to Stephen Brault when we come back. It's Fan Evening Show, Jason Mackey, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.